Hi all, Lily here. We've talked about how much we love Needed, but one product I really leaned on, especially through my VBAC pregnancy, was their prenatal collagen. I love how simple and clean it is. It's pure hydrolyzed bovine collagen, nothing extra, with a totally neutral flavor that mixes seamlessly into drinks or food. Collagen is especially important because our natural production starts slowing in our early 20s, and pregnancy, stress, and postpartum recovery only increase those needs. It's rich in amino acids like glycine and proline, which are key building blocks for collagen production in the body. It was such an easy, supportive addition for me during my pregnancy and recovery, and it's another reason why we trust Needed so much. You can get 20% off with code TVL at checkout. Head to thisisneeded.com today, and you can even stack it on top of their new subscription discount as well. So that's thisisneeded.com with code TVL for 20% off.
Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am your host, Paige, joined by my gorgeous, beautiful, lovely co-host, Lily.
Wow. High praises today. Hi, everyone.
And we are excited to bring you a episode with just us. Just us.
Yeah, just and two chatty gals.
Forgive me because my thoughts and words may not be completely coherent. I am just coming hot off a birth that I was at all night. So it was awesome and wonderful. But yeah, we'll see how this goes. How are you doing, Lily? How was your week?
The post-birth sleep deprivation as doulas is so real. It takes me like a full 24 hours after birth. I'm good. I had a postpartum visit today with a mama that I was at her birth last week, and she was a VBAC. It was her second VBAC, so that was really fun to get to see her and her sweet little nugget and also talk through some things about her birth that felt hard, even though she got a VBAC, which I think is really important to think about. And coming up in May, one of them, we have a birth trauma therapist coming on, and I think that really was in the back of my mind in my conversation today with my client. So be on the lookout for those episodes too, Women of Strength, with these professionals that we get to have on and have really powerful conversations, because I think it shapes who I am as a doula in so many ways too, which is really fun. So
yeah, absolutely. Every birth needs processing. Every birth does. And yeah. That's okay. Yeah. Today, we are here talking about all the things. If you are a longtime listener or a new listener to this podcast, you will often hear women say, I did all the things to prepare for my VBAC, and then I got my VBAC. So I remember as a listener myself, I was like, what are all the things? What are these things that women are doing? And I would open up a note on my phone and jot down things that I would hear and created a list of all the things that I heard. So we, in this episode, are hoping to do that for you. However, we also, if you have not heard of our VBAC Parents Prep course, have a comprehensive one-stop shop that has all of these things in great detail where you can go and truly prepare for your VBAC. Prepare to rock
it. Yes. Paige and I both took the course. It was created by our founders, Julie and Megan, and have both taken it in our own preparations for birth and found it to be really helpful. So we hope you love it too. We are going to do all of the things with you today. We get questions a lot about, like, is there an episode that just, you know, runs the gamut of everything that you can do? And Paige and I really want you to know that this isn't a prescription for VBAC. This isn't a, if you do these things, you are promised to get a VBAC. This is a, here are some things you can do to take back the power, to prepare your body, to prepare your mind. And these are all options. This is not a, like, please do everything on this list. And this, if you don't, you're failing at preparation. Something as simple as listening to this podcast is preparing for labor and for birth and for VBAC. But we're going to give you all the options. And some of these things Paige and I have done personally, some of these things, you know, our community members do that maybe Paige and I haven't tried, but we know that it can be beneficial. So really, like, listen with your ears and your gut today and do a gut check of, like, does this feel right for my VBAC preparation? Because not everything that we're listing here is going to be. And I think if you did everything on this list, you would probably be pretty overwhelmed pretty easily. So take it and do a gut check.
Exactly. All the things does not mean better. There are lots of right ways to prepare for birth. There are lots of right ways to birth. So even if you go into hoping a birth will turn out one way and then you are in that birth and decide to pivot, that's a right way to go about it as well. So we're going to take a break for our intro and then get into all the things.
Hi, I'm Lily.
And I'm Paige. Welcome to the Feedback Link podcast.
We're moms and doulas who know firsthand that birth after cesarean isn't always straightforward. I'm a miscarriage and ectopic mom who went on to have a hospital water birth VBAC.
And I've had two CBACs and a planned maternal assisted cesarean.
Our experiences may be different, but our mission is the same: to make birth after cesarean better.
On this podcast, you'll hear powerful stories of VBACs, repeat cesareans, and CBACs from women around the world.
We'll also bring in expert insight, practical tools, and encouragement to help you feel informed and supported as you plan your next birth.
Whether you're preparing for a VBAC, choosing a repeat cesarean, or simply exploring your options, this space is for you.
Because every story matters, and we're here to remind you that you've got options, you've got support, and you're never alone.
The VBAC Link is storytelling by nature. The stories on this podcast do not represent a universally best or safest option for everyone.
This podcast is intended to encourage and inform. It does not replace individualized advice from a qualified medical provider.
Welcome back. As per usual, before we get into the stuff, we are going to kick it off with a review of the week. Get us some of those good vibes going. So Lily has one for you today.
Yeah, this one is on Reddit, which I feel like is a scary place if you are anyone on the internet to be spoken about, but this is a really great one, and I like it. It's an older review. It's 3 years old, so when they're talking about the ladies in here, it's Julie and Megan, our founders, that they're talking about, and it just, like, brings my heart some joy. So it says, if you're considering a VBAC, I recommend the VBAC Link. Seriously, I'm addicted. I find them so healing. I had an unplanned and very much unwanted C-section, and I have been unknowingly carrying around all these emotions and trauma about it since. I thought I was empowered going into my first birth, but I wasn't strong enough to stop the medical staff with all their interventions. Don't get me wrong, I believe that interventions are necessary, but looking back with what I know now, I realize those interventions were put in place to make it easier on those involved in delivering my baby. Anyway, won't get into all that. Point of my post is to check out the podcast, The VBAC Link. I listen to them all day now while caring for my baby. They also have a course that you can take focusing on preparing for VBACs. Even if you just like birth stories, they have some CBAC stories. And in one episode, a guest also pointed out that what you want from a VBAC birth is peace, redemption, etc. She talks about how you can still feel all of those things even if you have a cesarean. My baby is 8.5 months old, and we're going to try for a baby later this year. But I really love these podcasts. Okay, I'll stop my raving now. So that just brought me some joy to hear that we were just a part of this person's VBAC story. And even if it was a long time ago, I hope that she has now gone on to have another baby in the most peaceful, amazing way that she could. So that's our review of the week. And I think that that is a great handoff. Listening to the podcast is part of your VBAC preparation. So let's do it. We're going to talk about prenatally and during pregnancy. One thing I want to say, I just actually made a reel about this on my personal page. This idea of preparing for birth, I hear a lot from my clients, like, I am going into birth believing that my body is made to do it. And I think that sometimes if that is the only thing that we're holding on to as preparation for birth, it sometimes lends to not preparing a lot for labor. If we're just leaning and relying on, well, I think my body is made for it and that therefore it will happen, it can sometimes lead to this lack of preparation. And maybe Women of Strength, you're finding yourself there too. Maybe that was part of your first birth story. It was like, I just really thought I could. And then it turned out that there was a lot of other things that I wasn't expecting. And I just want you to know that you're not alone. We don't attend birth the same way that we used to generations ago. We're not being passed down these things. Like, this podcast is a modern day attending and community of birth, because we don't see our moms and our sisters and our aunts have babies. We don't. Often our first experience with birth is our own. And so you don't know what you didn't know. And so give yourself the grace and the forgiveness to know that, and the grace in this space to pick the preparation that fits with your current state of being And if this feels overwhelming, maybe you come back to it later. So, okay, that was my soapbox.
I agree. So in preparing, the preparation, in our opinion, is best started before conception. There's a lot of things and some specific things that you can only do before conception. However, if you are pregnant, it's not like it's too late to prepare in the best ways. But if you had an unwanted cesarean and you want something different and you're ready to start preparing, let's start.
Here's some options.
Physically.
Let's do it.
Yeah, physically. Okay. So you can go to a pelvic floor physical therapist. Now, not every pelvic floor physical therapist treats scars in the same way. So you're going to want to find somebody who is very familiar with scar mobilization.
Yes. I personally did scar mobilization with a pelvic floor PT after my cesarean. I also did something called Mayan abdominal massage, which was I found really helpful. So lots of ways to kind of get your scar mobile. And I think a lot of us have this, it's really hard to touch our scars, like really, really hard. And it can bring up a lot of emotions. And so in that, also processing your birth with a birth trauma therapist, sometimes we want this like magic fix. And I don't think there's a magic fix. Sometimes we really do need to do some work there to really process it to feel okay. So I think that goes along with the emotions that can come up with scar work and mobility. So
yeah, it's other super normal. Things. Yeah, it's back to the scar stuff. It's super normal to feel nauseous and sick touching it. Like that can be a response too, depending on what happened to your birth. Lily talked about the Mayan massage, which I didn't try. That's super cool. One thing that I really like that's not super common is the Dolphin NeuroStim tools. There are these like two little tools and they have these electric currents and they just make like little zzzz noises. And my PT just held them to different points in my scar. And I could literally feel when I would walk out of appointments that some of the restriction was not restrictive anymore.
Wow.
And in addition to that, I also did some dry needling. And I felt like that was really helpful too with some of those, like some of the puckering, or if your scar doesn't lay quite flat, those things can really help.
Yeah. Speaking of needles, something that's great prenatally is acupuncture. I'm a huge acupuncture girly. I don't think I'll ever stop doing it. I started doing it after my losses before I ever had living children. And it can be so great for fertility. If you're finding yourself in a space where maybe you're someone that is struggling to conceive post-cesarean, I am just a huge, it blows my mind. And I think you have to find the right acupuncturist. I had one that I was like, oh, this is fine. Like, it's relaxing. But once I found, I see a doctor of Eastern medicine, and she is just phenomenal. And I did a lot of acupuncture on my scar to help, like, bring back sensations and things like that. So speaking of needles, you can also go the more acupuncture route as well.
Yep, perfect. And I know Lily and I, we both love fitness. We love working out. That was something that for both of us really healed our relationships with our bodies after going through some tough cesareans where you don't feel like your body was, well, anyway, I mean, speaking for myself, maybe I felt like maybe my body wasn't made for this. But I was still proud of my body and what it did do and what it could do. And I wanted to lean into that. I didn't want to stay in that stuck place of my body's broken. So going to a gym, learning how to restore that confidence in your body if you feel like you've kind of lost some of it from a birth, that can really help.
Yeah, it's also great birth prep too. I remember I taught fitness all throughout my VBAC pregnancy. And anytime I'd be like in spin class, I'd be like, I can do anything for a minute. Like that mental toughness is helpful.
Yep.
There's so much that you can do. Learning about nutrition, eating good, high quality foods, all of the different supplements that you can take. We have a couple episodes actually with the registered dietitian Lily Nichols that are really great episodes. And we should have said this at the top, but we're going to try our darndest to make this all into a really like easy to follow blog too. So we'll link the episodes to Lily Nichols and any other episodes that are relevant in that blog. So you can go there and find all of this kind of listed out for you. It could be maybe something that you have pulled up as you're listening to the rest of this too. So yeah, I think that fueling our bodies and giving our bodies like nutrient replenishment is so important. It's why ACOG has guidelines on not just for VBAC parents, but for everybody on how long to optimally wait between getting pregnant again, because there is this level of replenishing the nutrients that a pregnancy takes from you, you know? So.
Yeah, exactly. So getting into mentally and emotionally, you did touch a little bit on therapy and processing. We talked about that. But that part is so important. It's really, really important, women of strength, to process what happened. And it's not a box to be checked. Healing is not that way. But it is really important to, when you're ready to have another baby, to do it not just to redo your birth experience.
Yeah.
We cannot fix what has been done or erase what has been done through a redemptive birth experience, although there are parts of ourselves that can be healed through that and restored. I do believe that, but it doesn't erase what has happened. So in order to really go into your birth with a clear mind and heart, it's important to seek professional help if you need it. And there are lots of resources out there for that.
Yeah. And even if you're not sure if you need it, but if you're just finding yourself like stuck and hung up and just in a cycle of like, I can't quite let this, it's not about letting it go, right? I think we'll always hold our birth stories with us, but it's just about being able to not have it dictate, you know, so much of your life. I also love the book, How to Heal a Bad Birth. It's a great birth book. Also, Birth Story Brave Reimagined is something I personally worked through in my therapy after my C-section with my therapist. And so I think that's a great tool to either, you can do it alone, but I really think that birth processing works the best in community and in like being able to get feedback from somebody else. So
yeah, writing down your story, revisiting some of those things, processing it with your partner, asking them questions about some details that maybe you forgot, or your doula. If you had a doula, you can get a copy of your op reports from your previous hospital or wherever you gave birth and talk to your provider or have a conversation about some of those things to piece things together. If you have anger or resentment towards a particular provider, we do have an episode talking about the things unsaid. And you can write a letter. Don't know that I would recommend sending that letter, but because it's more for you, it's for you to get that out. I actually wrote one to myself and wrote a letter to myself about how it wasn't my fault and how much love I have for myself and forgiving myself, maybe even for things that I chose that looking back, thought maybe I shouldn't have chosen. And I shared it in the CBAC group. So if you're a member of the CBAC group, you can search it and find it. I think I took a video of myself reading it. So
That's so beautiful, Paige.
Very cathartic.
Yeah. Speaking of like things like getting your op report, that kind of lends us into this like education piece, right? And so if you're listening, pat on the back, self high five. I think listening to this podcast is so helpful. And how many of us have found the VBAC link in our postpartum seasons, post a C-section, and we're thinking to ourselves, you know, is there hope? I'm looking for solidarity. I'm looking for education. And there's so many guests that we've had on telling their stories and professionals in this space that are just incredible. We've got Mama Stay Fit and Dr. Stu and just so many episodes. And if you're ever looking for a specific one, you can feel free to reach out to us, first of all, on social media. I'll be your girl and I will help you do my best. But honestly, the way that I'm going to be searching is the same way that I'm about to tell you, which is searching by keyword in Apple Podcasts and in Spotify. You can search specifically on our show by keyword. I would keep the keywords to sincerely a word and mess around with them. Sometimes it's, you know, VBA 3C. Sometimes it's VBAC after 3C sections that like hits the right thing. So try a couple different combinations of things, but that keyword search is really, really helpful.
Yep, absolutely. We talked about books that you can read. Some of our favorite ones Lily mentioned. I agree with all that. Birth After Cesarean by Hazel Keitel is a really great book that we love. You can join a local ICANN group that kind of leads into, that overlaps with the processing too. That can be part of the community. But then also ICANN group leaders have really good connections to starting to look for providers. And that goes into, you can interview your providers before you get pregnant. And we encourage you to do so, because then how much more reassuring is it once you get pregnant to be like, boom, I know where I'm going. Boom, I have this relationship. I feel safe already. And you get to just have that safety net. I don't know.
Yeah.
Of not feeling like you're running against the clock trying to find a provider.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And some of this too ties in just with your finances, right? Because I don't think many of us walk into birth saying like, I have unlimited resources. And so think about, as we're going through the rest of this episode and we're talking about some of the things you can do in pregnancy, that's a great thing to be jotting down now of, can you start saving for your doula? Or maybe you want to have an out-of-hospital birth that's not covered by insurance, or chiropractic and pelvic floor PT. Sometimes they're not covered by insurance. Acupuncture. Do you want to have a birth photographer? All of those things that we may not necessarily, you know, think about. My pro tip is to think about if you have an HSA or an FSA that you can contribute more to. The HSA is great because it rolls over year after year. That's what I did. So I started to like kind of sock away more in my HSA postpartum. So then when I was like ready to have, I had a whole spreadsheet, you guys, I was crazy. I had this whole spreadsheet before I was pregnant of all the things that I wanted to do, how much they cost, and how much I would need to have in my HSA to make it not feel like I was paying out of pocket every single month for these things. And so I started just like socking away like an extra $20 off my paycheck into my HSA. And it covered my whole pregnancy with acupuncture, pelvic floor. I didn't do pelvic floor PT during pregnancy. I did it postpartum. But acupuncture, chiropractic care, all of that I had completely covered by my HSA, which was really, really cool. So
I love that idea. A spreadsheet and planning ahead, saving. Yeah, that's, I love that. Love it, love it. Okay, should we get into during pregnancy?
During pregnancy, let's do it.
Okay. So if you didn't interview doulas, that's a good time to talk to doulas, see what their availability is like. Many great doulas book pretty far out in advance. So yeah, it's okay to look for your doula early on. It's a good thing. We like that.
I had someone, she found me through the VBAC link, actually. Her birth is coming up. I'm so excited. She told me she was pregnant on a VBAC link live, you guys. She's so adorable. And she hired me at like 5 weeks pregnant. And it was so, it's been so fun to get to do her whole pregnancy with her. And it's never too early to hire your doula. And hopefully, if you have a great doula, I would ask these questions like in your consult. Like, okay, I'm hiring you really early. Like, how do we stay in touch? How do we stay connected, right? Because you might not do your prenatals until the end of pregnancy. So we've done like a couple doula dates and just have hung out and got to know each other kind of as friends first, which has been really special. So look for that relationship building. And then you really have someone in your corner that you like know and you trust. And how fun. I don't know.
Yeah,
my doula was the first person that knew I was pregnant.
Love it. Oh, wait. I love that. Oh,
she lives down the street for me. And so actually she was a second. My nanny who had my son, I made her come look at the pregnancy test because I was like, do you see another line on this? Am I crazy? And she's like, no, I see that. What does that mean? And I was like, I'm pregnant. And then I immediately drove my doulas down the street. I drove to her house because I had been over there for dinner the night, like a couple of nights prior. And I had been talking to her about how weird my cycle was. And I was like, I don't know. It's just something is off. And she opened the door in her pajamas. And I like held up this pregnancy test. And I was like, I think I know why I thought my cycle was being weird.
Oh,
So you can hire your doula the day you find out that you're pregnant if you really want to.
And letting your doula hold you through those emotions through your whole pregnancy. I think that's utilizing your doula to in the best way that you can. The birth that I was at just last night, it was, yeah, I met her very, very early on in her pregnancy. And it was so fun in her birth to talk back to, like, remember our first meeting when you were so worried and afraid and talked about how you were for sure going to get the epidural, and look at you freaking rocking this, and you're not getting the epidural, and you just did this. And we look at each other and, oh, it's the best. It's the best. That's doulas
so
love it.
Special.
And my biggest piece of advice, and I've, like, we kind of already talked about this with doula, is don't just hire a doula for the sake of having a doula. Get the right doula. And somebody posted in our community this week, like, when does the doula become actually worth it? Or who feels like the doula is actually worth it? Or something like that, saying that she thought there would be more communication from the doula she picked, and it's felt a little more transactional than she hoped it would. It doesn't have to feel that way. You can develop a very communicative, responsive, personal, deep relationship with your doula. And if that's something that you need, then that's out there. That's out there. And Lily, question, why would somebody want a VBAC certified doula?
Ooh, that's a great question. Did you know, Women of Strength, that you can hire a doula that is VBAC Link certified? So they have gone through a special advanced certification process to learn more about VBAC, how to support VBAC moms in their journey, how to support families, how to support you through birth trauma. They've learned some statistics about VBAC and talking with providers about VBAC. And so you can find a VBAC certified doula near you on our doula finder on our website. So if you look up VBAC Link Find a Doula on Google, it should be the first thing that pops up. But it's kind of fun that you can find a VBAC doula and still interview them, though. Like, don't just rely on a certification to be like, oh, this is for sure my girl. She might not be your girl. Maybe she's not the right personality fit for you. And that's okay. Interview the doulas and really find the person that is right for you. Because I promise you that all of us want that. We want to feel like we're right for that client. And we want you to hire the person that's right for you. And none of us are getting offended if you choose somebody else. That's okay. Hi, Women of Strength. This is Lily. I wanted to personally chat about Needed's prenatal collagen. It was something I genuinely used during my VBAC pregnancy, and it became a non-negotiable part of my routine. What stood out immediately was how clean and simple it is. You're getting pure, hydrolyzed bovine collagen, nothing else, no fillers, no weird tastes, no chalky texture. It has neutral flavor that mixes perfectly into food or drinks, which honestly matters so much when you're pregnant. Collagen is especially important during pregnancy and postpartum because our body's natural collagen production actually starts to slow in our early 20s, and it's further impacted by stress, sun exposure, and just the overall demands of life. During pregnancy, birth, and recovery, your body is doing so much rebuilding. Collagen is rich in unique amino acids like glycine and proline, which are key building blocks that help support collagen production in the body and overall tissue support. For me, it felt like such a simple, intentional way to support my body through pregnancy, birth, and recovery. Needed continues to be a brand that I trust because they make supplements that truly support women through real life and real stages, and this was a big part of my journey. Get 20% off with code TVL. You can find the prenatal collagen and more at thisisneeded.com and type in code TVL at checkout for 20% off. So exactly. That goes into interviewing in general. We talked about interviewing providers prenatally, but you can interview providers. I've seen some people that have kind of struggled with this idea of, like, do I have to book basically prenatal appointments? And this is where really interviewing providers prenatal or, like, before you're even pregnant is helpful, because then you can really book a consultation appointment because you're not already pregnant and they're not going to try to, like, bill your insurance for, you know, 10 prenatal meetings. But I think if a provider is not willing to do a consult page, would you say that that's already kind of a red flag that we're waving a little bit?
A little bit. We have a blog all about provider questions to ask. I think, do we have one about red flags? I know we have,
yes.
Posts.
We have provider red flags. We have, I think it's all in one, really. It's like a supportive provider blog. So we'll link that back in our blog that we're doing about this episode too. So it'll be an internal link And then we also have a VBAC 101 highlight on Instagram. So if you go to our little VBAC little dot, it has questions to ask a provider on there as well. So.
Exactly. So just quickly, yeah, that's something that you'll hear on the podcast, find a VBAC supportive provider. But what does that mean? So quickly, some VBAC supportive green flags are, I would say, support spontaneous labor, support the option of inducing. They don't require you to have a scheduled C-section on the calendar. They don't require an epidural just in case. What else would you say, Lily?
They will induce gently if medically necessary, but encourage spontaneous labor, like Paige said. They talk about the risks of VBAC and a repeat cesarean equally.
Equally.
Without fear-mongering language.
No calculator.
Yes, no calculator. They don't say things with like a caveat. Like one of the most unsupportive providers that we have in my area likes to tell their patients, you can labor in the water, but you have to get out to push. And I'm saying that because that's pretty common. That's a common thing. That's not a red flag. What it's a red flag about is for this provider is that our hospital with some providers does water births and this provider does not. But that caveat of you can labor in the water and get out to push is like gaslighting to make them feel like they're getting this provider that's going to give them this experience that they've seen other people get that they can't access with this provider. You know what I mean? So things like that. And that they're innovative. They think of solutions instead of problems.
Yep, exactly. And be very careful about practices. If you're interviewing a provider and you really like their provider, you really need to know, are they going to continuously be your provider or are you going to be subject to an on-call schedule? Now, if you are not in an on-call schedule and you have met with all the providers and you are comfortable with them and you feel good about that choice, like that's awesome. That's great. And you can ask for an on-call schedule. You can ask for a printout of it so that if maybe there's one that you'd like more than others, or if you're on the fence of should I go in or should I stay home or whatever, you can have that to be like, oh, well, who will I see? Who's on call?
Yeah, continuity of care is really helpful. So the more that you can get that, the better. And sometimes providers are willing to special you. And so ask that question too, you know, like, I really am connected with you. Is there any way that you would be willing to take on my case as a special case and be my provider for continuity of care? And sometimes providers are willing to do that. My midwife works in a practice and I was the first person that ever asked her to special me, which feels really cool. But she was willing to do that, which is really, really neat. Okay, other things in pregnancy. Think about where you want to give birth, right?
Location.
Maybe you're planning an out-of-hospital birth. Do you want to be at home? Do you want to be at a birth center? We've seen a hotel birth. Do you want to labor in an Airbnb? I have a friend that did that. Think about like where you want to be and what
we
the transfer plan looks like.
Exactly. We have blogs all about that because there are certain risks that you inherit just by choosing a particular location over another. There are certain benefits of choosing a certain location over another, independent of the provider that you have. Sometimes, yeah, I mean, it all goes into it. It's very individualized. So,
yeah, only you can decide what your risk tolerance is. Other things, thinking about what was your breastfeeding journey like the first time and meeting prenatally with a lactation consultant to help support some of those goals can be really, really helpful. Staying mobile, staying active. Oh my gosh. You guys, even something as simple as walking. Walking is like the best thing you can do to balance your pelvis. If you're looking for like, okay, what's the thing? Walking. Walking is the thing. It's like the number one thing. It's so simple, but truly, it's the best. And you'll hear so many mixed things on like, oh, do this circuit and this thing and this thing. If you can keep it as simple as walking and staying active in a way that feels good in your body, that's the thing. I really love the Strong Core Mama program. If you're looking for like a fitness program or something that's more guided, Dr. Anna Town is a pelvic floor therapist. She's a C-section mom. She's amazing and has a really great, like, strong expecting mama program that I love. Mama Stay Fit is another great option. They've been on our podcast. They have some programs as well. So if you're looking for programs, I think those are available. But it can be as simple as walking.
Yep. Other ones I like, Expecting and Empowered is really good. Spinning Babies, you'll hear a lot about spinning babies on this podcast. What is that? Spinning babies is a way to create the most space possible for your baby to be able to rotate and descend in a really ergonomic way to create the least amount of discomfort for you possible too. Because we know that sometimes the position of a baby, whether their head's a little tilted or facing a certain way, it can cause irregular contraction patterns. It can cause discomfort and more pain, longer labors. So that's why it matters that the way that you sit can make a difference. You want to kind of sit upright and try not to recline too much.
Yeah,
really
I just heard that this week. Some people were confused about the reclining thing because you're talking about OP or sunny side up is another word for it, babies, and how in the spinning babies kind of philosophy, this idea of not reclining, and it's not just like we're avoiding laying flat for the sake of blood flow. It really is avoiding leaning back too far. I like to tell my clients to think of their belly as a hammock. And you want your baby to be laying in the hammock. So their back is against your belly. They're laying in a hammock. And we don't lay in hammocks face down. Face down is uncomfortable. And so the more that we can encourage this like hammock, so that looks like your belly kind of being forward and in front of you, resting on all fours, leaning against a birth ball, sitting upright in your chairs versus encouraging them to kind of lean back, which is reclining. Laying on the couch, like really far leaned back into those comfy cushions. And I get that. That's hard to do. Side lying is a great option instead of like leaning backwards. But I also think that this is stuff you should ask your doula about, because truly your doula gets to be this person and ask them, you know, what experience do you have with spinning babies and different positions? Because honestly, you guys, the spinning babies website is kind of overwhelming. If you try to like look at that website, it's not easy to navigate, in my opinion, and it can be really overwhelming. I start with my clients as a baseline as a doula with the three balances. So if you're looking for like a really easy place to start with spinning babies, the three balances is something I would look up. It's the jiggle, sideline release, and a forward leaning inversion. And like I said, that's what I do with my doula clients. And so lean on your doula for some of these resources too, and bring these questions to your prenatal meetings.
Because you don't have to remember everything, and you can't. You can't remember every position in labor. Your logical brain just isn't working when you're in labor land. So that's when the doula comes in and takes over and says, okay, I see what you're doing. I see the sounds you're making. I see the movement you're intuitively going for. This is where baby likely is, and let's just lean into that. So let's do this. I see that you look like you might be a little frozen. Let's switch it up with this position. Let's just put one leg up. And yeah, that is the power of doula, because we could get into it so much with all the different methods and exercises. So with your doula, come up with like a very practical, realistic plan for you. It can be 5 minutes a day. It can be a once a week even thing, like some of the stuff that you do. It doesn't have to be all of that. Yeah. But
and that's why doulas hire doulas, because we know that we can't doula ourselves. Like, we have all this knowledge in our brains. And yet, when you're in labor land, it's really hard to be your own doula. And I think that this is why doulas are so valuable, is because you could take every training in the book and still need a doula during your own labor. And it's also really helpful that, like, you don't have to know what birth position you should do if your labor is acting an XYZ way. You can lean on your doula for that knowledge. And I think that that's where a lot of people get hung up and overwhelmed in birth prep, is trying to know everything about positioning for labor, when the reality is that is a great role for your doula to play.
One thing I really like in the Hypnobirthing book by Siobhan Miller, which I recommend listening to it because her voice is so soothing and it gets you in that hypnobirthing mindset. And she talks about how hypnobirthing is often talked about like, oh, I need to learn how to hypnotize myself. But it's really not. It's learning how to use your breath in a way to help you become deeply relaxed. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. And within that, with the breath, I like to help my clients learn about the hypno-up breathing and the hypno-breathing down breathing. So for the active labor, the upbreathing is just at an in count for four and then exhale for eight. And then when you're getting ready for the pushing stage, anytime you go to the bathroom, start practicing down breathing, which is just a quick inhale. And then use the power in your breath to help your pelvic floor relax and breathe out your poos when you are pregnant. So that's a good way to help prepare yourself for pushing.
I love that. Yeah, it really is. Because, yeah, your pelvic floor has to get out of the way. It's not about Kegels. It's not about having a really strong pelvic floor necessarily. It's about being able to relax enough that things get out of the way. Speaking of things that help with that, pelvic floor PT, so great during pregnancy. This is one that I skipped. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to say that because, again, this isn't check every single box and do every single thing. For me, the pelvic floors that are PTs that are available for us in our area are all out of pocket. And I just couldn't afford $200 a visit my whole pregnancy. Like, that's just the reality. I was already paying for a Webster certified chiropractor, which we'll talk about in a little while, and acupuncture and things. And so I chose to do pelvic floor PT postpartum, and I saved my like little fund that I had for PT for my postpartum recovery. And it was awesome. And I know so many people that benefit, clients included, from pelvic floor PT. And you really, if you're like learning to relax your pelvic floor can be so huge, and you can do that practice pushing and some of that work with your PT. So if that's something that kind of calls to you, I think it's a really great, fantastic resource.
Yep, exactly. Okay, I think we're kind of getting through our comprehensive list. What else are we missing? Nutrition, high quality supplements, high protein. We're usually not getting enough protein. So just, and our protein needs increase through trimester, stay really hydrated. So if you're thinking about like one thing nutritionally, I advise protein intake usually.
Yeah. I mentioned a Webster certified chiropractor just briefly a second ago, but
oh, yeah.
Webster certified chiropractor is great. Make sure they're Webster certified. I did not see a Webster certified chiropractor in my first pregnancy. I thought I would just go to my regular chiropractor that I'd seen all the time, my whole life, pretty much seen the same chiropractor. And I just kind of went sporadically when I felt like I needed it. And I invested in a Webster certified chiropractor because my first baby flipped breech in labor. And I really knew that I wanted, like, that was my track, right? So speaking of like what speaks to you, that was what spoke to me the most. And I knew that that was going to be really helpful for positioning. And it was night and day, like completely different. I had a completely different experience in my pregnancy with my pain, with how comfortable I felt. It was fantastic. And God bless my chiropractor. She came over to my house and adjusted me when I was in labor too, which was really cool. So shout out to Dr. Lara at Impact Chiropractic in Loveland, Colorado. If you need a shout out, she's amazing. So yeah, I think Webster certified is really, really key. It made a huge difference for me.
Yep. I learned about that on this podcast. I was like, what's that? Webster? What is Webster? Who is Webster? And then you learn, okay, that's what it is. Yep. Other things that you'll hear on the podcast a lot, people talk about drinking red raspberry leaf tea. People will talk about eating dates to help things get started, to help labor get started. And evidence-based birth is a really great resource to learn about the actual evidence behind these things. They have pocket guides that really simply lay out all of these methods, and specifically with tea and the dates, that's in their induction one. But yeah, I have that for my clients, and it's a really great way to look at the evidence behind that to help you make your decision if you want to do that or not.
I love that. I think the thing that's really important to point out is that sometimes there's not evidence for some of these things. Sometimes these things are sort of what I was talking about earlier with the like this communal passed down generation to generation, more traditional medicine types of things. And just because something is lacking in evidence doesn't necessarily mean that it is or is not inherently safe. But that is something that then you assume that risk, right? You're saying like, I am taking on the risk of the unknown. And that is something that's totally okay. I personally drank red raspberry leaf tea in my own pregnancy. but it's not for everybody. And you'll hear a lot of like theorizing around some of these things, like, oh, evening primrose oil, because it thins the cervix, it could also thin your scar. And the reality is we don't know that. That's a theory. We don't have research. The one thing that was really studied in the most detail is dates. There is some evidence that shows that dates help to ripen the cervix. They help to shorten the active stage of labor. But when we're talking like red raspberry leaf tea, we're talking evening primrose oil, any of the like tinctures that you can get, Dr. Christopher's or the gentle birth tincture, all of that stuff doesn't have research very much, at least in general, in pregnancy. And then if you niche it down to VBAC, there's nothing. And so it's okay for there to be nothing. I don't think we're ever going to get probably VBAC research on the gentle birth tincture, for example. And so speaking to a provider that you trust, if you have access to somebody that has training in like herbalism, like I have my acupuncturist that I see is a doctor of Orient or a doctor of Eastern medicine. She is fantastic. And she's a great resource for me to ask like, hey, is this herb thing safe? Because she actually has the knowledge, you know? So take resources with a grain of salt. That's my soapbox on research in those more natural, crunchy things. Because sometimes the answer is we just don't know. And that's okay.
I mean, we might need to have your doctor or what? She's your Eastern medicine doctor. So you said? Mm-hmm. I think we might need to have her on the podcast.
She needs to come on someday.
Yeah, I think so. We're slowly working our way through all the providers that Lily has, which I'm like kind of jealous about because military spouses talk about this a lot, or anybody who moves. You just don't have the ability to set up your people in a way like you do when you plant roots. And that's like when I was living in one spot growing up, you just have people and you have the space and the resource, like the time to just look around and find and weed out. I don't know. You find who works for you, I guess, and the people that you love. Yeah. So I'm so glad that you have all your people. It's so cool. I'm getting a little peek into it through the podcast.
Yeah. We have just some good eggs, I think, in Northern Colorado in our birth space. And just, yeah. And I found them all in different stages of life too, which I love. And I think that's why, like, even going back to what we were talking about earlier, of like being able to interview people prenatally really gives you just more space to find these people because they might be hiding. You might find them, you know, just like find the people, ask in the mom groups, ask some local doulas, you know, like who are your favorite providers to work with? Maybe they don't know if they're VBAC supportive or not, but like, who are the providers that like everybody loves? And I always find it funny in the mom groups when people ask about providers and you can look for it, right? Look for the red flag is this, I think. Everyone says, oh my gosh, I loved Dr. So-and-so. They were so amazing in my emergency C-section. And it's like, if every comment is saying how great they were during their emergency C-section, why? Like, why is that the positive, only positive experience that you're hearing about this provider? So use that time to just find your people, because you'll find them. You will.
Yep. All right. Well, I think that's pretty comprehensive, and it doesn't even touch on all the things that are possibly out there. But I think we did a pretty good job at hitting on the most common things. So if there's something that we missed that you loved, comment on this episode. Give us some feedback.
Comment on the blog.
Yeah. Comment on the blog. Yeah. And we are happy to add to this list. We're happy to give as many resources to our women of strength as we can, because we want you to have options, because we know that if you don't know your options, you don't have any. And we want you to have all the options.
Yeah. It's not one size fits all. You know, you might have some really, I've heard some like really cool stuff in our community sometimes of like, oh, I tried this thing or this was really helpful. And sometimes it's things I've never heard of. And so just because it's not one of the like big popular birth prep things. Oh, wait, I have one more. This is the last one I'll say. Take a birth class, hire a doula and take a birth education class. It is so important. You can see the difference as a doula in clients that have taken birth education versus clients that haven't. If you've never taken a birth education class throughout your pregnancies, take a birth education class. Like it will give you so much insight to what to expect during labor. It will give you a base point to jump off of with your doula. Like, as when I have clients that have never taken a birth education class, in our first meeting, it's really hard to like get us to as deep of a space in birth prep without the foundation of birth education. And my clients that have birth education and they're ready to like ask me questions about, you know, tell me more about this, and I heard this was an option or this thing, and they brought this up and it made me feel uncomfortable, have a way better use, I think, of their doula. So take birth education and take it in the environment that you're planning to birth in. You know, like take a home birth birth education class if you're going to have an HVAC. Take a class at that your birth center offers. Take a low intervention hospital class. So look for those resources too. Okay, I'm done. I'm done. That's it.
Okay, so my final thoughts are give yourself grace. And we talked about this. We opened with it. I want to close with it again. Give yourself grace. If you heard this list and you tried for a VBAC and you didn't get your VBAC and you thought, I did all the things and what did I miss? Or I did all the things and I'm frustrated and mad because I wasted all this money because it didn't work and it was supposed to work and I was supposed to get this VBAC and I knew in my soul and my bones that it was going to happen. And you feel jaded, you feel lost, you feel upset. It's okay. It's okay to feel that way. It is frustrating. And it is frustrating to not have an outcome that you hope for. Or if your VBAC didn't go as smoothly as you hoped and you did get a VBAC, but it didn't go as you hoped it would exactly. That's okay also. And I want to say that if that happened to you and then you are now getting pregnant again and deciding, okay, do I want to put myself out there, do all the things again? I just want to say that it is worth it to invest again your heart in preparation, even if you felt like it let you down before. The investment still matters and it still makes a difference. And it doesn't have to look the same. You don't have to go through all of the same things again. It can look different, but I hope I'm making sense as I say this.
I think something that has been pivotal for me is birth trauma happens the most when we feel unsupported. And so it is protective to do some of these things, to feel like you knew your options, to feel like you did all that you could do, to have all the information at your fingertips, to understand and have education is protective no matter what your birth outcome is for that experience, so that you felt like you were in the driver's seat. You did the best that you could do with the information that you had, and it may or may not pan out to be a beautiful, perfect, exactly what you pictured VBAC. And I still think that your preparation also lends to helping in recovering from your cesarean, in filling in the gaps of, I don't, like the what ifs and the, did I make the right decision? Because you were empowered and you were informed, and how beautiful to have been empowered and informed. And so we love you, Women of Strength. And never is Paige and I going to tell you that if you do this one thing, you're going to get a VBAC. But your preparation matters. And we say that as a mom who had a VBAC and a mom who prepared for VBACs that turned to CBACs and a mom who fought so hard. Like, I'm just forever proud of you. And I think I'll say that every time we talk about this. But we say that from both sides of the coin. You know, you're getting all of the perspectives. So
because I hold my head high, even though maybe initially I was embarrassed and frustrated and upset and felt broken. But now looking back and having done some healing and processing, I hold my head high because what is the point? What is the whole point? The point is I want to be the type of person that goes after what I want. I want to be a proactive person, and that is independent of what type of birth outcome happens. So hold your head high. You know that you've done all you can do, and it doesn't mean you have to do everything, but it means that you've looked inside yourself done what feels right for you. You've been proactive. You've been invested. And when we are invested, then to me, that's what matters, because you're doing that for yourself. You're doing that for your baby. And that's something to be proud of.
Yeah. That's a great way to end. Women of Strength, we will see you next week. So long.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Hi all, Lily here. We've talked about how much we love Needed, but one product I really leaned on, especially through my VBAC pregnancy, was their prenatal collagen. I love how simple and clean it is. It's pure hydrolyzed bovine collagen, nothing extra, with a totally neutral flavor that mixes seamlessly into drinks or food. Collagen is especially important because our natural production starts slowing in our early 20s, and pregnancy, stress, and postpartum recovery only increase those needs. It's rich in amino acids like glycine and proline, which are key building blocks for collagen production in the body. It was such an easy, supportive addition for me during my pregnancy and recovery, and it's another reason why we trust Needed so much. You can get 20% off with code TVL at checkout. Head to thisisneeded.com today, and you can even stack it on top of their new subscription discount as well. So that's thisisneeded.com with code TVL for 20% off.